The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from the WGBB studios in Merritt, New York, this is Sports Talk New York.
So, what was shaping up to be, I wouldn't say maybe a magical next season, maybe now turning out to be a disappointing season. Would that be the case? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We'll talk some Mets. We're going to talk a little Yankees. So whatever you guys want to talk about, if you want to give us a call here at the Sports Talk New York Blunt Thoughts Hour at 516-623-1240. But yeah, coming in here tonight, I was trying to follow along with the next game. You know, it's been a little rough, bit of a rough start to February. I mean, a rough month of February, I should say. And now we come here to March, and you're hoping that the new month is going to be a new wave. And then, you know, you get some good news before the game, and you hear that Randall's been cleared for light contact, so you get a little excited about that because you've been anxious. You've been anxious. At least I've been anxious to find out what's going on with him. And you get the reports here and there, and you knew he's been working out, and he talked about surgery and how he's trying to put that off and hoping to avoid all that and be able to come back and continue this push, like I said, to a magical season. But you also had other injuries. You had OG, who also has been working his way back. He had a little bit of a procedure done. And you're hoping he comes back because when we got him, this team took off. What was it? A 9-game winning streak was going there toe-to-toe with the Cavs who were on their own winning streak. I think theirs went up to like 11 or so. But then the game starts tonight. And you're facing those Cavs, and you want to make a statement. And so far tonight, it's going pretty well. It's going pretty well, I'll be honest. I'm trying to, you know, not focus too much on the game. But I didn't see it. I was trying to get ready to come out here. But I see that Jalen Brunson goes down when I come out. And I put the game on. And I'm like, uh-oh, what happened here? And that put my anxiety level, which was maybe at a 5, 4, 5, 6, with everything that was going on. Maybe after the good news before the game, maybe at a 4. That raises it up now to what, maybe an 8? And then I was able to watch a replay real quick. And I'm not even sure what happened. It looked like he landed maybe awkwardly or whatever the case may be. And had trouble getting up, tried to get up, went back down, immediately called for help. And then we find out, they say sore knee. I think that's basically the diagnosis so far, sore knee. First questionable, not definitely not coming back, right? At halftime, they announced he wouldn't be coming back. And again, this was shaping up to be a magical season. You know, you come into every season with hope. You never know what can happen, you know. And depending on what's gone on in the offseason, depending on, you know, the players, your faith in the players, your belief in the players, that hope may be at different levels, you know. For me, it's always a new season with all my teams, all the sports, you know, whether it be baseball, football, basketball. You know, but this year you came in and you felt good about the Knicks. You wanted to see what was going on. You know, the whole Randall thing since he's been here, playoffs with the Hawks. You know, the little struggles here and all that. Then you added Brunson. You had last season, which was pretty good. You know, you come into this year, you make the move for Dante, and you're hoping to see growth from the RJ and quickly and those guys. And it's looking good. You know, there's some struggles, but it's looking pretty good. You know, they're holding their own. And then you make the trade. And, you know, there were different thoughts on that. Everybody had different feelings. And, again, this is Sports Talk New York, the Blunt Talks Hour. Here, and you can give us a call at 516-623-1240. But then the trade was made, and, you know, everybody had different ideas about the trade and how they felt. And for me, man, I'll be honest. I was excited. And, you know, I don't really watch too much of the NBA lately as far as the other teams, you know, about certain players. But everything I heard about OG was like, okay, this guy will provide what I felt the team needed, right? For a long time, I felt like this team lacked outside shooting, someone who could just knock down that open shot. You know, we had RJ in the corner there. And listen, RJ was a frustrating player here in New York. And, you know, he had his good, he had his bad. He had that playoff where he went off. And it was like, okay, RJ is taking the next step. And, you know, this season came and he was struggling again. And it was frustrating. And it was like, you know what, probably he doesn't fit with this team. And it may be time to move on. And they did it. The front office did it. They find a way to move on and keep all these first-round draft picks and still be able to make a bigger move down the line, but make this team better. Make this team better and give us hope. And like I said, OG came with Precious, who was, like people said, a throwaway again. I didn't know much about Precious, but I love Precious now. And that was good. But then the injuries came. The injuries came. And injuries are always a concern with a Tom Thibodeau coach team. And the fan base always talks about it, and they worry about it. And it's like, oh, my goodness, is Tibbs going to wear these guys out? But, you know, the injury to Randle, you could argue maybe he shouldn't have been in that game. Oh, my goodness. All right, Ihart, get up. I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm trying to stay focused while watching this game here. You know, the injury to Julius, that was a tough injury. You know, he fell hard. He landed wrong. That happens. Okay. The injury with OG was that Tibbs playing him too many minutes, or is that something that he was already nursing as he got to the already to the Knicks? To me, he was already dealing with that, so I don't think that I think that was inevitable. But like I said, the injuries are a concern, and you see stuff like now Brunson. What happened? Is that because he's been playing too many minutes? You know, and that's why he has a knee problem now. I don't know. With Ihart, he's obviously dealing with a heel issue or whatever the case may be. Is that a case of minutes? We know he's probably come back too early now, and has been dealing with that injury, same because he feels like maybe he could ramp up little by little, and you know, he feels like the team needs him or whatever. And you know, as an old school guy, I'm all for that. Like, I want to see my guys play. You hear a lot of talk of it. You see teams doing the load management and all that, and you wonder, you know, should the Knicks get involved in that stuff? And you know, sometimes you gotta be smart. It's a new age. So at least with Ihart, I'm like, ah, man, should he really be playing? But again, we need him. Cause you do need to win games. I mean, listen, you don't want to get caught up in the standings, but again, you're making this magical run. And for me, I think this team can make it to the finals if it's healthy. If it's healthy. And that's the question right now. Can they get healthy, right? And then as well as getting healthy, I just talked about the trades for OG and Precious, but then there were other trades, right? And you bring in Bojan and you bring in Alec Burks, which again, you thought was going to bring you the outside shooting that you need on this team with Brunson and Randle anchoring the team. And with the injuries, these guys have not been able to play. So that's another concern. Like when these guys come back and do get healthy, are they able to you know, find that cohesion? How much time is that going to take? You know what I mean? It looks like we got a call already. Let's see. And you know what? I mean, if you heard me here before, and it's part of Sports Talk New York, you may or may have not. That's Hector from Washington Heights. I'm sorry. I don't even think I introduced myself. The name is Hector Moquette. Hector from Washington Heights. I've been part of Rob Fried's little program that he calls the Sports Talk Roundtable. And I think he's on the line right now. So let's go to Rob. Rob, how you doing, brother?
And you know what? Can you hear me, brother?
I can hear you.
You know, Hector, I must say, it's great to hear you. You sound, right off the bat, phenomenal. You're a natural, and you're doing, as I said to you, you got the goods, man. Now,
check us in the mail, Rob. Thank you.
Let's talk Knicks, because I'm watching the game. You haven't gotten to see it. I got to tell you something. This team is fighting. Now, I want to go back, because I want to ask you a question. On the last game, that Warriors game to me was one of the worst basketball games. It set the NBA back 30 years with all those 3-point shots by the Warriors. No defense. The Knicks, I kept saying, Hector, if the Knicks would have slowed it down and just said, let these guys take chuck threes all day long, slow it down, work our way back into the game, and they might have been able to pull that game out. I mean, dude, I want to go back to that game because that was an ugly, ugly game all around on both teams. Give me your thoughts, Heck.
No, yeah. And unfortunately, I mean, that's what the game has turned to, right, with the analytics. You know, you see teams come down on fast breaks, and instead of taking the layup, they'll pull up for a three-pointer. They feel like, you know, the numbers bear that out. And like I said, I'm an old school guy, so I like the way the game was played before.
Right.
I mean, listen, you're watching tonight, and the three-pointers was keeping the Knicks in this game, right? They've been able to take the lead.
With Brunson being down tonight, the fact that they're actually winning, I mean, I don't know if you know what's going on. It's 101-96 with 2:28
to go. I have it on. Okay, I'm paying attention.
Right. I mean, this team, and I want to throw it out at you, and I agree with you 100%. Going into this week, I felt this game coming up, this week was a key week because, you know, they go up against the Pelicans. That Pelican team, it's a Western Conference team. They're good, though, Hector, right?
No, yeah, they're pretty good. They're pretty
I
good.
Didn't realize that that's a really – now, we don't have to worry about them, but you made an amazing point.
Well, it's a team that's been doing well for a few years, right? They've been doing well for a few years, they and then they struggle because, you know, their main guy, Zion, you know, has issues with his weight and injuries and stuff like that. Hasn't been able to give him a full season. But as long as he's played, they've been pretty well. And this year he's been able to stay healthy for the most part. Early on, you know, there was talk about, you know, whether he was getting along with the teammates and the coaching staff and all of that. And the way the game was played and whether he fit in or not. But they're doing pretty good, you know.
Let me ask you a question because I missed out on this. Because I just came back from dinner and I tuned into the show and I'm just catching up on the Knicks here and see what's going on. Now they're saying Randall is clear to, you know, to do some light workout right now. Is that what you heard?
Well, no, he's been working now. He was cleared for light contact. And Rob, thank you for the call.
You got it, buddy.
Thank you
and
for opening the door to this.
You're doing great.
Yes, brother. Thank you. Have a good night. Yeah, and that's Rob Fried, who brings he as part of the sports innovators, he likes to call it. That's what he likes to call it, the sports innovators. And again, we're here at Sports Talk New York, the Blunt Thoughts Hour at WGBB out here in Long Island. I'm kind of like in foreign territory. But like I said, Rob bring me out here, open the doors, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that because it's something that I've kind of wanted to play around for a little while. And happy birthday to Rob. But back to these Knicks and what we were talking about here. Like I said, Randall's been cleared for light contact, Rob. And we'll see how that works out. We'll see how that plays out, how that goes along. You know, like I said, we know that he's trying to avoid injury. He's trying to avoid injury and be able to play through it. But you want to be able to get him back with enough time for him to get his legs under him. See, because what you don't want is for Julius Randle to come back and try to do too much and maybe get hurt. Or even to try to come back and not play up to the level that he can play. But honestly, man, I'll be honest with you. Obviously, the health is the key for this team. If this team does not get healthy, they're not going to go anywhere. And I think this team, let's say for whatever reason, Julius Randle's not able to come back. You know, if this team is healthy, NBA Finals is not out of the question to me. But if Julius Randle's not able to come back, I still think they can go on a run, right? If everyone else is able to be healthy. And that would be OG coming back. That would be, dare I say, even Mitch, who also, I think, is even traveling with the team and has been working out now. I'm not sure what his level of clearance is. But, you know, they could make a run with, obviously, Jalen Brunson leading the way. And that's what my worry is right now. And that's, like I said, well, my anxiety level is now at an 8 because he's the floor general. And if he's not there to lead things and you know, move things around and have everyone play off of him, I don't know if we could run through Julius Randle again. And now listen, when we went in that playoff run with Randle, when he was all by himself and, you know, that's what it has everyone worried, where he couldn't perform against the Hawks, he had no help. He had no hope. So if that was to happen now, you would think that with the guys that we have in Bojan and Alec Burks, and as those guys get more comfortable, and if they're able to play for a little while, then maybe we can still go on the run. But who knows? Who knows? Oh, man. This game is good. 104. I don't even know if I can do that, but 104.98. Yeah, with about a little less than 2 minutes left. And like I said, man, right now, this will be a great win for what it means in the standings. And like I said, I know we're probably we are definitely closer to the 7th and 8th seed than we are to the 2nd, 3rd, or 4th seed. And ladies and gentlemen, we will touch on the Mets. We will touch on the Mets. We will touch on a little bit on the Yankees. And we will take your calls. Don't let Rob be the only one. You know, don't let me hear talk to myself, but I'm more than glad to do it. 516-623-1240. Sports Talk New York, Blunt Talks Hour. Yeah. But, right now the Knicks at 35-25, 5 games behind these Cavs. So, when you play a team that you're close to, that you're either chasing or chasing you or whatever the case may be, you want to get those wins. You want to get those wins. You want to be able to, you know, that's the way that you can make a dent in the standings either way, you know, good or bad. So this is a big game tonight, even before the injury. And now even more with the injury, you want to be able to hold the fort. And, you know, coming up is some pretty big games, some pretty tough games. So you want to be able to get this win. You want to be able to stay where you are in the standings because, listen, if we're going to go on any kind of run, And like I said, I feel good about this team. And there's no team that in the Eastern Conference that really worries me. You know, and that's why I feel the way I do. Now, you look at the Celtics and what they did to the Warriors today, and you're like, oh, this guy's nuts. What is he talking about? There's no way this team could beat the Celtics. Well, if you can avoid them for a little while, then that'll do you good. You know what I'm saying? And then you can face them maybe in the Eastern Conference Finals and stay away from them. So that's why you want to stay in those first four or five seeds if you can. You definitely don't want to be in a playing game, right? You definitely don't want to be in a playing game. It's not the way the season was going, definitely. So you win this game, you go into this week, you win a couple of more games. Hopefully we get some positive news from Jalen Brunson, and we see how that goes. Let's see. Looks like we have another caller here. Jack Upper West Side. Ah, I think I know this guy. Jack, how you doing, brother?
How you doing, man? Like, congratulations. This is, I want to ring a bell for the first Hector solo radio show, first of many. And you're doing fantastic. You sound like you've been doing it forever, because you've been doing it in your head forever, and it's great to have you on the air and be able to talk to you this way. You know, we talk Mets. Hector and I are Mets fans. But I'm a Knicks fan going back to my first Knick memory was Jerry West hitting the three-quarter shot and my uncle rolling over his back in disbelief. So I go way back. And I've been alienated by the Knicks for a long time, as you know, Heck. But I'm watching the game, and I got to say, you know, to see this team take so many knocks, just like with all the things they've achieved, and to see guys go down, and then you see Josh Hart step up and have a triple-double. Like, I think he's got 19 rebounds, 10 assists or something, hit that big three-pointer a minute ago. And then just the way that Ihart is such a throwback player, as a guy who, you know, has a shiner tonight because he's defending the rim and at all costs. It's really, you got to give him credit. You know, whatever happens, you got to take your hat off to them for the way they play, how they put their bodies on the line. And it's something that longtime Knicks fans like myself can appreciate. And I haven't said that to you in a long time, as you know.
No, absolutely. You usually want to talk to me about the Nets and drive me crazy. You know how I feel about that. But, yeah, and that's the thing. You touched on something right there, and that's what's been the love affair with this team, right? If you're our age, my age, you're a little bit older than I am, you've been through a lot of ups and downs. You've been through a roller coaster. That's what being a sports fan is for the most part. You go on a roller coaster with the teams. You go to peaks and valleys. You go ups and downs or whatever. And you hope you get more ups than downs. But with the Knicks, let's be honest, for the better part of 20 years, there's been a lot of downs, and there's been a lot of tries at quick fixes. It's been a lot of turmoil, and you know, there's been anger with James Dolan. Has he meddled? Has he not meddled? You know, and I've never really been too much against James Dolan. He's someone who has spent the money, who has tried to get some of the best front office people that you could find. He's tried to get some of the best coaches that he can find. Maybe he didn't let some of them do what they needed to do, and credit to him, it seems like he's done that with this front office. But
right.
Again, going back, you think about all those struggles, and it's been a slow build. It's been a slow build, and if you've been patient and dealt with it, it's given you that much more joy right now. Like I said, even with Julius Randle, like Julius Randle is a player that gets a lot of, it's a love-hate relationship with the fan base and Julius Randle. I love Julius Randle, but there was a point where I didn't like him so much, right? That first year when he came here, I was like, what is this guy? I love team basketball. I love to move the ball around. I don't like to see the one-on-one stuff. And that's what we saw a lot about with Julius Randle. But I'm also a guy that likes to see guys progress, likes to see guys get better. And he came back and he got better, you know. And then again, he struggled again and maybe went back to a little bit. And he had the whole, I think it was, he did the finger as opposed to the door thumbs down, you know. And that was an issue. But I feel like Randle's all New York, you know. But
you
yeah,
know,
so the
know,
joy, the
so
joy
the
that
thing,
with this
and,
team
and
is
I
there.
Don't there's anybody, I don't think there's anybody who was more in Randle's corner than you were. But, you know, his fight with the fans is a little different in that, like, you know, part of his fight with the fans was an expression of his passion and that he was going to fight anybody who was going to, you know, on the court or whether...
Which is why I love him, right? You know, me and Jack, I get into a fight with
right.
anybody. Why?
Yeah.
Because I'm passionate, right? So I get into fights with people. People love
yeah.
me, hate me, all kinds of
yeah.
stuff. But, hey, what can I do, man? I love sports. I love my teams. I'm competitive. So sometimes I get it, you know, get the best of me.
Right. Well, the thing is I think, you know, there's so much talking about New York fans and what they're like. And I think the thing that New York fans, I think they appreciate more than anything is seeing effort. Like teams that really go all out. And that's, I mean, I think you have this Knicks team is worthy of that appreciation as guys who put it on the line, whether they're down three players or not. So, good for them. And, good for you, Hector, for, getting your butt out there and putting your butt on the line and making the effort to launch something that you've been wanting to do.
Well, let's
and
see what happens, man. It's a trial run. You know, it's something I've wanted to take a crack at. And thanks a lot, Jack, for the call, man. Have a good night. Appreciate you, buddy.
You got it.
And hopefully we don't burn the station down. Again, WGBB Sports Talk New York. This is the Blunt Talks Hour. I'm here. Trust me, they didn't leave me here by myself. I got my man Brian here on the other side helping me out, making sure I don't burn this place down. And hopefully I get you guys to talk with. And, the Knicks pulled it out, man. Good win. And Josh Hart, man, I'm looking at this guy's stat line. I think it was 13 points, 19 rebounds, was it? Didn't catch how many assists, but a triple-double. This is another guy who's a lightning rod. If you could say, another love-hate relationship. I'm a lot on Twitter, so I see a lot of comments. I'm in Twitter spaces. You know, I'm listening to the radio station, Sports Talk Radio out in the city all the time. I'm calling, WFAN in New York. I'll say it. It's kind of why I want to do this. And, you hear a lot about Josh Hart, and some people love him, some people hate him. And I appreciate a player like Josh Hart. You got to understand what he brings, and this is what he brings. A day like tonight, where your best player goes down. You're already missing your second best player. You know what I'm saying? And he's been stepping up the whole time, and he comes out there and gives you a triple-double. And this guy's all over the place. And what is Josh Hart? I don't even know what. 6'2", 6'3"? I don't even know how tall he is. And he's like the leading rebounder almost every night. Yeah, he's, all over the floor, getting loose balls and all kinds of stuff. And if you can accept that and accept the kind of player he is and appreciate the kind of player he is, then, you don't go crazy over the fact that he's not giving you 20 points a night. He may be able to do that on some nights, but he's not going to do that every night. He can give you, 9, 10 points. A day like tonight, I think it was only 13. But he had a couple of threes even, too. If you can have him knock down those open threes, then and with everything else that he does, I don't need to get much more from him. It's a great win. You had guys like do step up. I saw Bojan was killing it a little bit. I don't really know all of the numbers. Like I said, I've just been like one eye here, one eye there as I was driving and listening and trying to prepare for this and trying to guide my thoughts and trying to figure out what am I going to open the show with. Am I going to talk about my beloved Mets who, depending on how I wake up, drive me crazy, make me feel good, don't make me feel good? Or do I talk about the Knicks? What do we talk about here? And then Jalen Brunson goes down and then it's like, okay, there's nothing else to talk about. And hoping to see what is going to be. I'm pretty sure it's going to be an MRI, X-ray. And like I said, it didn't look good. And listen, I'm no athlete. I may be a wannabe athlete, like maybe I'm a wannabe talk show host, whatever you want to call it is, right? But if you do this, if you are passionate about sports, it's because you played sports at one point in your life, right? And you had dreams of playing sports possibly or whatever the case may be. So I played a little sports, whatever. And I still do. I still do as at my age. Play a little softball here and there. Sometimes I may get out there play basketball, but whatever. We're not here to talk about that. But the point I was going to make is one thing that was encouraging for me, right? When I see guys go down with an injury, especially what appears to be a knee injury, I am someone who's had his patella tendon rupture on each knee at different times. Not both at the same time. That would be, I don't know how you would deal with that. So, yeah, that injury that Edwin Diaz had last year in the WBC, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever, however you want to look at it, I know all about it, right? So I've been through that. So anytime I see someone go down with an injury, the first thing I look at is, are they able to bend their knee? Are they able to bend their leg? Because one thing I know with the injury that myself and Edwin Diaz had is you're not able to bend the knee. That's why that night when that happened to Edwin Diaz, as soon as I saw it, I told anyone I spoke to, he ruptured the patella tendon. How do you know? You think you're a doctor? No. Unfortunately, I'm experienced. So I was encouraged to see that he was able to bend his leg as he was waiting there for help. Because if it was a ruptured patella tendon, then he wouldn't be able to do that, and then he's definitely done, right? If it was an MCL, ACL, or whatever the case may be, then he's definitely done. So We'll see what happens, what the diagnosis is, what the diagnosis is or anything like that. And then, you know, hopefully he's able to come back. Because like I said, you know, this was shaping up to what we thought was going to be a magical season. And I don't want that to end. I don't want that to end, man. I'm someone who holds on to hope until the season is over with all my teams. You know what I'm saying? I did that with the Mets last year when people were telling me, why are you still going to games? Are you crazy? The season's over. And I knew it. I can see it happening. You know what I'm saying? But you got to have faith until you're eliminated. Until there's games to be played, you never know what could happen. Until they say you there's no way you could catch up or you could get into a playoff, you never know what could happen. So let's see what happens with these injuries with the Knicks, and hopefully they all start coming back and we can continue this run. But right now, again, my anxiety level is at an 8. I would love to hear from you guys. Tell me what your anxiety level is. Maybe you say, you know what, this guy's crazy. This team was never going anywhere to begin with. What are you talking about? You know? Or maybe you say, no, you're right. I'm right there with you. Whatever it is, give me a call. Sports Talk New York, WGBB Sports Talk New York. I'm sorry. It's the Blunt Thoughts Hour with your boy Hector from Washington Heights. Give me a call, 516-623-1240. We're going to go to break. I think we have someone on the line. We'll come back to you. Hang on there. Victor, hey, give me a second. We'll be right back and we'll get right to you. Thank you.
Listening to Sports Talk New York. Tune in every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on Long Island's WGBB. Broadcasting on 95.9 FM and 1240 AM. Or listen live online at WGBBRadio.com. Stay connected to Sports Talk New York on WGBB by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WGBB Sports Talk. You're listening to Sports Talk New York on Long Island's WGBB. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to WGBB Sports Talk New York, the Blunt Thoughts Hour with your host, Hector Moquette, coming all the way to you from Washington Heights via the WGBB Studios out here in Merrick, Long Island. The phone number to talk to us is 516-623-1240. And before we get back to those calls, if you don't know, you may or may not know. If you know me, I'm a huge Mets fan. And that's the other thing that I want to talk about and what's going on here. It's like, I want to say maybe three types of Mets fans right now, right? There's the super pessimistic fan that doesn't believe in anything that's going on. They don't care how long this ownership has been here. They're stuck in the 3 to 5 years. They don't care that David Stern's been here, what, maybe 4 or 5 months now. They don't care about anything that's been done to try to make this team better. They don't care about anything about that. All they know is there were no headline-making moves, and the way they see it, this team will win 55, 60 games. Those people drive me crazy. Those people drive me crazy because there's no way I can go into a season. And listen, like I said, for me, every season, there's always hope for me. I have a group chat that I have with some of my friends we put a different title every year. And usually with the Knicks, I'll put what I feel is going to be, in that season. And if I think they're going to be terrible, the title will say that. And, you know, this season, I believe it started something like in-season tournament champs, Eastern Conference Finals or something like that, you know? And obviously, we didn't win the in-season tournament, but they made it there. They gave it a good run or whatever the case may be. They played well. And like I said, here we are hoping and feeling like we were on a magical run. And that's where I'm at with the Mets, right? And then the other type of fan is the super optimistic. I don't even know optimistic. Some people like to call them shills. They see everything through orange and blue glasses. I've even been accused of that sometimes because sometimes I say, listen, I don't think this team is going to win 55 games. I'm not going to tell you they're going to make the playoffs. My hope is that they make the playoffs. I think there's a path for that, but it's up to the players, right? So that's what you are. Either you have the guys that also don't care about 2024, right? Because there is that type of fan. And that's what the shield, the optimistic fan, who all they care about is the prospects, and Steve Cohen is here, and he has the money, and David Stern, the small market guy who's done so many things with Milwaukee, and I'm going to put my blind faith in them, which is good, and trust the process. Well, you know what? Don't tell me trust the process. I hate that trust the process garbage. I'll give them time. I understand what's going on. I'm not entirely happy with what happened in this offseason. I'll say that, you know, but I understand it. And I do think there's a way to get to the playoffs. But before we keep going about that, I don't want to keep Victor in Long Island. Out here in Long Island. Out here in Long Island. Victor, talk to me, brother. How you doing?
Yo, Heck, what's up, bro?
What's going on? What's going on? Is this my guy, Vic, from the Schmoozers?
Yes, sir.
Oh, snap. How you doing, brother, man? Thanks for the call.
Okay. Royce, well, first and foremost, I just want to say I'm proud of you, my dude. I know this is something you always wanted to do, get on the radio, talk sports.
We're trying to see what happens, man. So hopefully, like I said, I'm going to burn this place down.
I just want to show you a little bit of support tonight.
I appreciate that. How you feeling though? Were you watching this Knicks game? Talk to me about this Knicks.
That game was never in doubt. I wasn't worried. This Knicks team is different. This is a different Knicks team. This is not the Knicks from a few years ago. This team battles. This team grinds. This team wins. Not worried, man. The only thing that worries me is the Brunson injury. Hopefully it's nothing serious. Hopefully it's just a few games. See if anything has to miss.
Yeah, hopefully he's not one of those CLs, right, that was here with the knees.
I'm excited for the Knicks. Very excited for the Knicks.
Absolutely, right? Hopefully with Brunson's not one of those CLs or anything like that that we hear about.
If he needs to take a few games off, you got to give him a few days off. A few games off.
Yeah, you know what? Listen, I'm here talking about you don't want to be in a play-in. You want to try to avoid the Milwaukee Bucks in the early rounds. You want to try to avoid the Celtics if you can. I'm not worried about it. But you know, if you can avoid them, you do. I'm one of those guys that whoever's in front of us, let's take them down. You know what I'm saying? So if these guys need to take some time off, as long as you still hold the fort and are able to get in and they're able to come back healthy, hey.
Then
we go on one of those magical runs like we're talking about.
That's all that matters.
And you win the games on the road.
Right now, this team is playing magical.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Honestly, there was a point, I don't know if you remember, in 2015 with the Mets, once they got Yo, that they felt like they could never lose.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Knicks were on that run. Before they had all these injuries, the Knicks were on that run.
Absolutely.
Every night, they felt like, we can't lose. They can't. There's not a team that can beat them the way they felt. And I feel like once they get all healthy again, it's going to be the same thing all over again.
No.
Magic run.
For sure.
Not even worse.
And look at that, right? And it was, well, and then I guess, you know, Yo was a huge piece, and I'm not sure there's been anything like that with the Knicks trades, but they also made small trades, right? The Reebok,
yeah,
the Kelly Johnson.
But, yes.
The Tyler Clipper,
also,
you know what
I mean? The Reebok and the Kelly Johnson move really jump-started everything for the Mets. And then they got Yo, and then that was it.
Absolutely. But
like, Murphy,
Vic, I got to ask you, how are you feeling about the Mets? How are you feeling about this Mets season?
Excited.
Right. Now, excited. Let me ask you, though, why? Because another thing, what are you excited about? What makes you excited?
I feel like we have depth now, something we haven't had in years.
Yes.
Whoever goes down, we have somebody who will replace them. We have young kids that are dying to come up here and play.
Absolutely. No.
I honestly feel we're not in a, like, if, God forbid, we do have a bad year, we have pieces to get rid of to try to retool for next season. That's why I'm not too worried. I'm very excited for the Mets.
Right. I'm there. Like I said, it's a new season, and there is reason to be excited about. And Vic, thanks a lot for the call, brother. Again, I appreciate the support. I mean, you're someone that's always supported me. You always told me when I told you, hey, man, I thought about this. You always say, do it, man, and I'll be there right there with you. So I appreciate that, man. Thank you, brother.
Proud of you, my dude.
All right, man.
Have a good night, man.
Thank you.
Have a good night. I'll be listening.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, and listen. maybe we can make this a regular thing, you know, once or twice a month, every now and then, and we come in here. But, yeah, man, to keep going on that Mets conversation, listen, I'm excited. Again, I can make an argument about how we cannot be a playoff team if you want to, you know, latch on to all the negative things, and you want to harp on the fact that we didn't go get a DH. You could have got J.D. Martinez, Hector. You could have got Jorge Soler. You know, you could have got Justin Turner, who I would have welcomed. I would have welcomed Justin Turner as someone who could provide, you know, some hitting, some power, but also could provide, I don't want to say leadership. I'm trying to stay away from the leadership thing a little bit here, but someone who could help these guys, even like a Pete Alonso, and help the young guys into the art of hitting, into the thinking of hitting. And he was able to, a dude that was able to transform himself, right, as someone who was scrappy, who I'm always liked, whom I hated when Sandy, and I'm going to try to stay away from Sandy, all the Sebastian tonight, when Sandy let him go for nothing and let him walk, you know. So I thought that, but listen, there's still good things on this team. I'm someone, I don't want to call myself a Vientos fan, but someone who thinks that Mark Vientos with a better opportunity this year that he wasn't afforded before. I don't care what you want to tell me that he was up. They didn't do this guy right. And not only him, not only him, all these young guys were not treated properly, I feel it, the way that they were brought up. And even when they were brought up here and how they were played and not played and all of that nonsense. And we could argue back and forth on whose fault it was, whether it was Buck's fault, whether it was the front office fault. Obviously, there was something going on there. And whatever. I thought it was more front office than anything. But, yeah, I think a guy like Mark Vientos could hopefully maybe provide some pop there at the DH. Does it, I don't want to say worry me or bother me that, you know, a guy that young is shaping up to be a DH already. Like, yeah, that sucks. Because you don't want a guy in, what is he, 24, 25, already you don't have a position. Like, you're not really a complete baseball player. You know, like my guy Sal Acata, I'll shout him out. My guy Sal Acata likes to say he's not a complete baseball player. And I agree with him. I agree with him. You know what I'm saying? But if I can get maybe the same production that J.D. Martinez can give me for the price that I'm paying Mark Vientos, I can understand why the Mets are doing that. And I can understand why David Stearns wants to see what we have with the young guys. I can understand what David Stearns wants to evaluate. Again, am I a little bit frustrated that we haven't gone after a guy like a Jordan Montgomery? Yeah, I am. But let's see, I think we got somebody else on the line. Randy from Queens. I think I may know this guy too. Can someone else that I don't know call me? I appreciate these guys, but I want to talk to somebody I don't know. Come on.
Good evening, Hector from the Heights. And I must say, sir, you are living your dream. The blunt thoughts have become a reality, my brother. God bless you going forward, Hector.
I don't know if it's a dream or a nightmare, but it's something.
Listen, you're doing your thing, man. You are representing. I hear you on the overnight coming up. But anyway, let's talk about this Nick win. Let's talk about this Nick win in Cleveland tonight on the road.
Yes, sir. Talk to me.
Without our best team. I think we're in the heads of the Cleveland Cavaliers. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. Like, and sometimes you match up with certain teams well. Obviously, also didn't have Donovan Mitchell, but I believe they had everybody else, right? They had everybody else.
Everyone else.
You know, Garland
and
was
they
there.
Were home. They were home.
And they were home.
Their team was depleted.
And you know they were trying to come back and get some merit of revenge. I think we even beat them early in the season, right? And obviously we know what happened in the playoffs and all of that. So you know they were trying to come out here and give it to us. And even though their main guy wasn't there, they still had enough. And we pretty much handled them the whole game. Like, I wasn't on top of it, but it seemed like we had them handled the whole game, like you said. And like Victor said a little while ago, this game was never in doubt, so absolutely.
Okay, my friend, I'm not going to keep you too long. I just want to run by 2 points. What about the New York Mets? I'm not an optimistic Mets fan, but they may surprise us.
Well, that's the thing, though, right, Randy? You never know. That's the beauty of where we are right now. Now, one game has been played.
2015, we had no expectations.
No, we were being told that, 2016 and beyond, that's almost what was going on right now, right? Except that we may be in a better position because of the ownership that we have and all the resources that this man has.
Okay.
You know.
Hey, listen, Hector, I know you're busy and other callers are back there. One more point, my brother, and then we'll let you go do your thing.
Yes, sir.
What do you think the Giants are going to do this draft season? Bless you, home safe, and we're listening. Go forward, Hector. Do your thing. Have a good night.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you, brother. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the support. Yeah, that's my guy, Randy in Queens, who's also been part of, he was part of the first Sports Innovator show that we did out here with my guy, Rob Free. Shout out to him again. Shout out to my boy, Eric and Ron Cockham, who's part of that foursome, I guess, whatever the heck you want to call it. As far as your question on the Giants, Randy, I haven't been paying much attention to what's going on, but I will say this. I would think they would want to draft a quarterback, and I know they talk like they have all the belief in the world in Daniel Jones. You know, you hear the ownership talk about it. You hear the coaching staff talk about it. You hear the front office talk about it. I'm someone who doesn't have that faith in Daniel Jones. I'll be honest with you. And it's funny Randy asked, because recently my thought process is, and I don't know, you know, how easily they can move on from Daniel Jones or not. Obviously I would think that they have to play him this year. You know, the contract is what it is and all of that good stuff. And they're trying to figure out Saquon Barkley. And maybe, you know, this guy Daboll's had success with quarterbacks. We saw what we did with Josh Allen and all of that. And maybe they can do something with Daniel Jones. And to be fair, the dude has dealt with injury. But that's a problem too, right? If you can't get on the field, then you're no good for us. Out in the training room, out on the injury list, you're no good. Or the injury reserve, whatever the heck it's called in football, you're no good for us. So part of it is being available, but I would say go get a quarterback, try to look ahead. I mean, and you got to throw the whole Saquon Barkley thing in there. Franchise tag, no franchise tag. Is he going to be able to find a deal, not find a deal? You think he wants to come back? And I was someone who, you know, most people were opposed to the whole, you don't want to drop the court of running back that high and all of that. And at the time, like I said, I'm someone who always think you can win as long as there's games to be played. And at the time, as you were watching the Giants, you felt like, oh, maybe we could get Eli Manning and this crew of running back. They could do something, and maybe we could pull out another Super Bowl. And obviously, that didn't work out, right? But I was in favor of Barkley, and I'm a big Barkley fan. But I also think, because I wonder, and again, you had this new GM, Joe Shane, come in. You have Brian Daboll come in, and I don't want to say they were saddled with the situation, because they also bought into it, you know. And maybe when you want your first time in a job, you agree to things that you may not necessarily want to agree to. And maybe they agreed to the whole Daniel Jones thing. But they also did decide to give him an extension. A very big one, too. I don't know. So is it maybe time to move on from both these guys for these two dudes to be able to put their stamp on this franchise for real with their guys? Or do they want to keep riding these guys who were from the prior regime? And your tenure here as Giants GM and coach may be riding on that. So you better hope that first Daniel Jones is able to come back from injury and stay healthy and give you that time and then able to produce. And you got to figure out this offensive line. How long have we been talking about this offensive line? Offensive line. Giants, Jets, same thing. The Jets are in the same situation. I go into the Jets spaces, and all I hear is offensive line. Then you're going to get Aaron Rodgers guy. You're going to do this. So that's where we are with both football teams. Now, I think it's a little bit more urgency on the Jets, because they threw it all. They went all in. They went all in last year, and unfortunately for them, their season was over just as quick as some people want to say the Mets season was over when Edwin Diaz went down, you know, and they didn't really have a chance. So now, again, they got to hope Aaron Rodgers comes back healthy, and they're able to put the right pieces around them to hopefully go on that run that's been eluding them for a long time. A long, long time, right? But we'll see how that goes. But let's get back to these Mets. And again, about how I feel. And Randy mentioned 2015. And a lot of people say, oh, you never know. Look at what happened in 2015. And I'll be honest, I also do think that it's a little different. And we didn't know at the time. And you never know. You never know how things are going to play out, right? But in 2015, we had all those guys come up. You know, and Matt Harvey was already obviously there. And you had DeGrom join them. And then you had Mats come up in the middle of the season. And you had Syndergaard come up. And the pitching was there. The pitching was there. And that whole time, you're watching the season play out, and you're thinking, wow, this team is good. This team is ready to make a run right now. You know what I'm saying? Every game we're losing, and it's 2-1, 2-0, 3-0. And you're like, man, what the heck is going on? Make a move, Sandy. Make a move. Don't wait to 2016. The opportunity is here now. Go make a move. And he finally started making the moves, and they started winning games. And that move was almost Carlos Gomez. And we know what happened there. Thank goodness one time that the doctors and the trainers for the Mets did something good at that time. Because, you know, we at that time, the training staff, and that was an issue. But they did something good, and for whatever reason, they didn't approve that trade with Carlos Gomez, and we were able to get Yoenis Cespedes, and we didn't get Jay Bruce, who then we eventually got, and that was a whole nother mess. And we know the magical run that we went on. But that run was based on pitching. And, you know, that's one of the questions that we have right now. Do we have enough pitching? Right? Do we have enough pitching? And coming into the spring training and all throughout this offseason, you know, the conversation about an ace. Do we have an ace? And I'm someone who, I loved what Kodai Senga did last season. You know, started out with a bang and a little rough at the same time, and the walks and the control and not being able to go that many innings and 6 days and all that stuff. But once he got into a little groove there, it was good. It was good. And he was one of the best pitchers in the league. And I felt performed at a Cy Young level, and he was kind of pushing to that role. And again, we are here at the Blunt Thoughts Hour, part of the WGBB Sports Talk New York. And the number is 516-623-1240. But yeah, Kodai Senga did well for himself. And I was excited coming in to see his growth, to see if he could take that next step to being that ace that everybody's saying that the Mets don't have. Because he performed like it, but because he didn't have the name, because as fans, we're always caught up in the name, we're caught up in the headlines, and we don't have an ace, Hector, we don't have an ace. And I'm like, well, what do you mean we don't have an ace? Kodai saying, oh, he's not no ace. Oh, and now the league is going to figure him out. And then what is he going to do? Well, is he some idiot? Can he not adjust? You don't think he went back and he worked on stuff? And then unfortunately, he comes. And now he's dealing with a little injury or whatever. And it seems like it's something minor. He will be able to come back. And like Devin Stern said, give us, you know, quality innings or whatever. Give us a lot of innings and perform for us and anchor this rotation. But besides that, there are a lot of ifs. You have Jose Quintana, another guy who started out on the injured list last season. But who, once he came back, yeah, it took him some time, but he went on the run and he pitched well. So he could have been a good 3-4, you know, maybe a 2, whatever. But the guy you're looking to be a 2 is Luis Severino. Another if, another question mark. But someone who has performed well. Oh, it's only been 2 seasons, Hector. Oh, did you see? He was getting rocked that season. Yes, yes. But the velocity is still there. And he dealt with injuries, and that's a big, big, big thing, too. Is he going to be able to stay healthy? But it's someone that if he stays healthy, I think can do well. But what's the other thing? If he figures out the pitch tipping. Well, how are the Mets going to figure that out, Hector? If the Yankees couldn't figure it out, what makes you think the Mets will do it? Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But what I do know is getting back to David Stearns and all of that is, we have put things in place that we've been envious of as fans that other teams have done, right? So for years, you look out around the league and guys go to other teams and are able to perform better than they've done before. We just picked up a guy, Jake Diekman, who went to the Rays, who seemed to be able to figure all these pitches out and got better, right? And we hope we're able to continue that, right? We finally caught up in some people's eyes and put in a pitching lab last season that you hope is going to help you to be better. Are we going to see this all this season? Probably not, but you hope to see some of it, right? We've brought people in place that have come from other successful organizations like the Houston Astros in developing players, in bringing in players as far as international free agency, as far as drafting and all of that, that you hope is going to put us up to par to that level of these other organizations, right? We were able to cheat a rebuild last year because of the resources that Steve Cohen provides with his money. And we were able to make trades to that hopefully, we don't have to do what the Houston Astros had to do and lose all of those games for all of those years and have 4 or 5 losing seasons. You know what I'm saying? And we didn't have to do what the Baltimore Orioles have had to do to get to where they think they are. You know what I'm saying? So we were able to cheat some of that process. So, yeah, you can get caught up and, well, Steve Cohen said 3 to 5 years. Well, he didn't guarantee you we were going to win in 3 to 5 years. He said, if we don't win in 3 to 5 years, I'll be disappointed. Well, I'm disappointed with him too, but I'm disappointed every year. Every year. I don't want to do the math, but I've been disappointed since 86, darn it. I was 10 years old. Then you get 88, which is why I hate the damn Dodgers. Right there with, I do want to get on this. Man, this I was flying by. Right there with the Yankees, whom I can't stand. And that's something else that's going to drive me crazy. Because again, I'm not one of those fans that's giving up on 2024. I want to compete, right? But as a New York fan, as a New York Mets fan, who resides in Washington Heights, who spends a lot of time in Washington Heights and in the Bronx area and all of that good stuff, what do I have in my backyard? The New York Yankees, who have just gone out there and gotten a player who I have been in love with for years, who I've been calling the radio about when there was no thought of him being a free agency or available or anything like that, in Juan Soto, which is something, again, I understand what's being done by this front office and what they're trying to do and trying to see these young guys, but why couldn't we make a trade for Juan Soto? Why do you let Juan Soto go to the Yankees? And now I got to watch that all year. I'm seeing these highlights in spring training. He's fitting in beautifully. The Yankee fans are here planning a ticker tape parade already, making me sick. You know? But they have a right to be. They went, oh, the Yankees only won whatever the hell it was, 80 whatever the heck games last year. They didn't make the playoffs. But this is where the Mets are trying to get to, where the teams like the Yankees are. That sustained success where you're always there giving yourself a chance to get into the playoffs and possibly go on the run and win a World Series. You know what I mean? And now they have that guy that I've wanted to make that lineup more powerful, to put there with an Aaron Judge, who you can argue the best player in the game, put him up there with Ohtani, okay, because Ohtani pitches, and we'll see how long that goes for. Might pitch maybe 3 out of those 10 years of that stupid contract he got with the Dodgers, but we're not even going to get on that. Well, I guess I shouldn't say stupid. It was a smart contract. It was a smart contract, and you hope that this businessman of an owner and this genius of a GM that or president that we believe we have will be able to do stuff like that down the line and figure out how to get guys like that and bring them in here while they better to finagle the luxury tax, which is another thing that I want to touch on, but we're probably not going to have time, because like I said, this hour has flown by here on WBBB Sports Talk New York, Blunt Thoughts Hour with your boy Hector Moquette from Washington Heights, number 516-623-1240. We have a few minutes if you still want to call, but yeah, that's what we are. As far as the Mets, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. And, you know, our owner said, shout out to my guy, Rube, man, who I've met on Twitter, X, whatever the hell you want to call it. I've met at games. We become buddies. And he says, hope is not a strategy, because our owner said, hope is not a strategy. And yeah, he was right. At that point in that season, hope wasn't a strategy. But as fans, all we have is hope, damn it. Always have is hope, damn it. And hope is the last thing you lose. And I have hope. I have hope that Luis Severino is going to figure it out. I have hope that Mark Vientos is going to figure it out. I have hope that Francisco Alvarez is going to turn into that middle-of-the-order bat that we all crave and want. You know what I'm saying? But we got to give it time. We got to give it time. But I think you could do it. I have hope that Pete Alonso, who should have already been signed a long time ago, is going to have a dynamic year. He's going to have a historic year. One of those years is going to make, Steve Cohen said, hard to let him walk away. I have hope these things happen. I really do. I have hope that this New York Mets team puts enough pressure on this front office to make moves, not for 2025 and beyond. Because, yeah, it's a great thing we have prospects. And like my boy Victor said, there's a lot of things to be excited about. You could go down the line, the Christian Skies, the Dominic Hamill, all those guys that we've seen pitch in the last couple of days and then I've been sent down. The Luis Acuñas, the Jeff Williams, the Drew Gilberts, all of these guys. But they're lottery tickets. They're lottery tickets until they hit and you cash them out. And you never know. One person whom I love in the game of baseball, Omar Minaya, always said prospects become suspects. But what I'm hoping is that now, with this front office that we have, with this president that we have, whom I wasn't out here campaigning for, saying you got to go out there and get David Stearns. But what I always said is, whoever we get, I hope that this president is able to be smart enough and do something like the Yankees have done all my life. Hype up prospects and figure out when to get rid of them. You could tell me, oh, Hector, they haven't been doing that lately. They're holding on to all these guys. Blah, 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 blah. Well, then he hold on to them to go get Juan Soto. And some people are afraid, oh, they gave him too much pitching. We'll see what those guys become. But you know what we know? We know what Juan Soto is. We know what Juan Soto is. So I'm hoping that this front office is able to make the moves if the players put the pressure on them to go on a playoff run this season. Because you never know what can happen. That's what we are in baseball now, with the wild card and all that nonsense. And be able to figure out what guys to hold on to and which guys to let go. But again, thank you to everyone who has listened. Thank you to the guys who called. Maybe we'll do this again. Maybe one had tons of fun. For now, let's hope our Knicks figure it out. Let's see what the Mets can do. And hey, Yankee fans, plan that ticket to parade. Yeah, whatever. It's your boy, Hector from Washington Heights, here at WBBB Sports Talk New York. It's been the Blunt Talks Hour. Thank you. I'm out. Peace.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.